Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
Hi, Philip.
Hello, Ricardo.
How are we doing today?
Pretty well. We hung out the other night and we didn't really know it.
I saw you, but I saw you from afar, so I didn't have a chance to say anything.
Where did we see each other?
At the symphony.
Yeah, how often do you go to the symphony?
I go often, yeah.
Okay.
And so that you know, you will always find priests.
Definitely.
I love music. I'm not an expert or anything, but I love symphonic music. We have a good orchestra in Milwaukee.
We
I don't
do.
Know if people know that.
It is. It's spectacular. I know people have heard this before, but it's just a treasure that we have in this city, that it really is very good. I go probably about 9 or 10 times a year with a group of a few other priests. You saw me with some of them.
And it was a very nice concert.
Yeah, the one we went to was very good. An incredible cellist and Dvorak Symphony No. 9 for kind of the main second piece, second half piece. Yes. I think the symphony was better than your imitation.
Probably, hopefully.
But a familiar tune. What I like about the symphonies we plan with these priests, you've got to plan many months in advance, so those few dates on my calendar are saved. So I have to do them, and it's good really just for a break to take a deep breath and do something else to have off that night for that.
Good.
So we're looking now at which Sunday coming up. It's the Solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. Do you want to explain this a little bit? What's the deal with this Sunday next?
This is one week after Pentecost. We always celebrate the Feast of the Holy Trinity, like the same way that the 2 weeks after Pentecost we'll celebrate the Feast of Corpus Christi, or as we call it now, the Holy Body and Blood of Christ.
Body and Blood of Christ, yeah.
It's a doctrinal feast, and we've said many times that we not only celebrate something that we believe, it's about how to live it out also. What does it mean to live the Trinity in our lives? And I think that's one thing that I believe preachers should be looking at this weekend.
Yeah, so a little explanation is good there. We're beginning ordinary time, but it begins with kind of these special feasts, and the Gospels are not necessarily from the normal cycle. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to read from where? Which Gospel?
It's Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20.
The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they all saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, until the end of the age." Let me just say something, first of all, about the feast, and then I want to talk more specifically about the gospel. As we're thinking about the Trinity, it's a struggle to get our minds around this in a rational sense. But there's a temptation then to think that, boy, the church at some point made these hoops for us to jump through, these complicated things for us to figure out, and always go back to just a reminder that the Trinity is the way that God has expressed himself to us and wants to be in a relationship to us. And kind of words we use as a formula for this are the best that we can do with human words, but we have no other way to explain our relationship with God. We can't say it any other way. And I think it's just important to say that this reflects the experience of the very early church and God revealing himself to us. It's not trying to make our life difficult.
And we run the risk always, or with the Holy Trinity, I fear that what we may think is not totally theologically correct, but only that we speak about three persons, that God is in its own nature, in his own nature, a community of persons, that already begins to give meaning to something very powerful. We also say that this is the mystery of the Holy Trinity.
Right.
We don't mean mystery in the sense that I like true crime podcasts. It's not about that kind of mystery. It's a reality that it's not possible. It's so big, so huge, that it's not possible through human beings to totally comprehend it, but only that these three people, only that there is a community of persons, that there is a dynamism, I think that tells us a lot about who God is.
A mystery is not something that we don't know, but a mystery is infinitely knowable. Mm-hmm. I'm stealing that from some theologian.
That's the theologian in you.
It could be John Henry Newman, I think, that said that, but a mystery is infinitely knowable. So through our whole lives, we do that. So we grow in relationship with the Trinity, mm-hmm. in a deep relationship with God, trying to grow and understand God in a deeper way, especially through worship, and we continue to understand that in a deeper way.
The other thing I would say, we've talked a lot about the image of Jesus. Many times we come down to the idea that Jesus, what's the image of Jesus that we have? We could do the same with the image of God. I was in my computer the other day and I found, you know, when you found a file, it says homily and my homilies get recorded. Mm-hmm. And then we posted them in the website of the parish. And then this one was in my computer and I didn't know what it was. And it was the Holy Trinity preaching from maybe a year or 2 years ago. And it was about, you remember when the Pope Francis was elected as the Holy Father?
Right.
And the first days he was trying to give a lot of clues of who he was going to be, what kind of Pope he was going to be. Mm-hmm. He came out to the balcony dressed differently than tradition, and he paid his own bill mm-hmm. at the place where he was with the cardinals, and he drove with them to Casa Santa Marta with the bus and everything. And I thought, in that homily, I was trying to make the connection between this and the Holy Trinity. This is how God chooses to show himself to us, God's self to us. So I think it's very important, no? The same way that the Holy Father was trying to show the world who he was with things, details and gestures, I think this is God trying to tell us, this is who I am. I am Trinitarian. I'm three people in one. I'm dynamic. I'm a community of persons. I think it's great to reflect about that image of God.
Right. The gospel itself, I'm sure you're of the same opinion as I am. This is the answer to all we do as, mm-hmm. as Catholics and in parishes. This is the answer. And I repeat it often. We pray it very often. And this is my response to the struggles that I run into as a pastor in parishes and the parishioners do. It's all about the Great Commission. Jesus' last words, very carefully chosen. And those carefully chosen words are simple and they're direct. And this is what we're all about. And I just have to say, I regret sometimes the distraction that we fall into, mm-hmm. particularly in parish life.
Exactly.
I was at a meeting just a little while ago about really a different way of thinking about the church and kind of how we operate as pastors. And this is in anticipation of the Amazing Parish Conference.
Yeah.
And there was a really powerful...
Didn't I get like a selfie?
You may have from one of your parishioners who happened to be there.
The chairperson of our parish council.
That's right.
Renee.
Yeah, she was there. So she was there at that meeting. But there was a discussion from the presenter about, okay, you do it this way, and the concern is some feelings might be hurt from long-term parishioners. And he gave an answer, which is very challenging, but I think very good. And he said, so are we going to worry about the 80% of people who are not at Mass this Sunday or your hurt parishioners' feelings?
Yeah. I know what the concern was. And as you know, my parish hosted one of these
pre-conference.
This is about amazing parishes in October. And I said, how original that for once a priest will get to choose a smaller group of people with whom he's going to talk. I mean, you need to know, you know by now who you work well with.
Right.
Parish Council is an elective group of people, so mm-hmm. you may find people who actually become a pain in the back to you. And then you have Finance Council, that there are some rules also. And then for once, I said, how original that for once we'll have a group of people that we can choose for once, you know, give us this little break this time. That's what I said, and I think they understood.
And the important part about it is, however this is done, however this is received, it's for the greater good of the church.
Yeah.
To say, to go back to the Great Commission.
You were speaking about the conferences. I went to Rebuild Conference at the beginning of, I think it was April in Baltimore, the people of Nativity. It was a wonderful experience, great experience. I love these people. They've done many things very well. They wrote these books, Rebuild and Tools for Rebuilding. Great ideas. But the point is to turn people into disciples. We make and grow disciples. This is the point. This Tom Corcoran, which is the lay associate to Father White, said the mission of the church is complex, but the mission is very simple. Go out and make disciples. That's what we read in the gospel today.
Right.
As simple as this.
And when we think about that, then in the context of the Trinity, which can seem complicated, and our lives and the world that can seem complicated, Jesus' last words in the Gospel of Matthew, at least, very simple, go out and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And why do we complicate this as human beings?
Yeah. And connecting with the Trinity also, the Trinity is expansive. It's trying to communicate with us. What I was saying about the Holy Father was a total effort to communicate, and that's what the Trinity is. It's openness. It's welcoming. You know, it's the opposite of our parishes sometimes, that they become social clubs, very restrictive social clubs, and we really need to change this around.
And what's important is that happens sometimes not intentionally and not outwardly, but very subtly.
Mm-hmm.
I've said to my parishes before, you know, the more that we use our parish name and talk about our parish name and not Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
it's a little bit of a message there that, you know, this is kind of like, I use the image of kind of a bar where everyone knows your name, except if you haven't been there a few years, then people don't know your name and you feel like an outsider. And we need to speak more about Jesus Christ and less about the name that's on the building is one of my things lately.
Speaking of bars, when I was a younger priest and I had more ideas and more energy, I would go some Saturday evenings, a friend of mine owned a bar, and I would go and help him serve.
Oh, really?
And I would tell people, I'm here tonight, so you come to my place tomorrow. And they would come. I will not say that I had many people coming, but more than one person came. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Maybe it was two or three times. I don't want to say that I did this for a long time, but yeah. I loved it. Whatever it takes. I don't know if I'm embarrassing the priesthood or not. Who knows?
Speaking of priesthood, by the way, as we wrap up, tomorrow is an anniversary for you. Is
the anniversary
right?
of my ordination, yes.
Congratulations.
May 24th.
Yes,
15 years.
15.
It's 14 more than I thought I would ever make, but there we are.
Congratulations to you. Thanks for your priesthood and all you do.
Thanks for your priesthood. It feels like when I went to the seminary, one of the things that bothered me the most is when they would force you to go to events that they were going on, and then the rector would come and say, thank you for coming. What do you mean, thank you? You forced me to come. But thank you. Yeah, I know what you mean. Thank you for your priesthood, too. Thank you.
All right. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for Mass this weekend, archmill.org, that's the Archdiocese of Milwaukee website. And if you're going to be outside the area, masstimes.org is a great place to go and find out places for Mass. It's Memorial Day weekend, so maybe you'll be traveling, but look for Mass. Make that a point as you're doing other things.
And for our own people, if you see visitors, make them feel at home. It's important. Even if they're tourists, even if they're just visiting for the weekend, make them feel the way Jesus would make them feel, I think.
Yeah. All right, so how about we get together next week? Would that be okay?
Sure.
Well, have a good day.
Take care.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We want to help others, especially in places of strife, such as the Holy Land, where Christianity is dwindling by the day. But how to help? Here's an easy way. Buying products through the Holy Land gift shop. Every product you purchase at myfranciscan.org/shop helps Christians support their families and stay in the Holy Land. Olive wood, embroidery, spices, and many more authentic products from the Holy Land are available right now at myfranciscan.org/shop. The Holy Land Gift Shop, bringing the Holy Land home.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.